Hello, everybody. Let's pray. Father, we give you praise. Lord, we lend ourselves to you. We receive your word and the understanding of it. We receive your revelation. Pray, Lord Jesus, may your spirit guide us, Papa Kosh Ketede, in what we have to say and receive. Let us not be deceived. Let us be imparted with your word, your revelation in Jesus Christ. And let us be built up and edified in our minds. And let us go to get into better spiritual maturity for more exploits as your children here on earth as it is in heaven. Therefore, Lord Jesus, have your way tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, this is Bible Interpretation series, and for some reason which I might understand, some people might not really know the importance of topics like this or teachings like this. They assume they are well, what is he going to talk about? Is it not just to say his own opinion about the Bible? However, we don't do that here. We simply let the word teach us. And you know how the word teaches us is not by sitting down and all that, but examining the word, because God gave us brains to work, working brains. And if your brain is not working, we need to take you for medical attention. You need some medical attention. You need to be treated, tended to, and make sure that everything is functioning, because normally as a man with a brain, you should be able to read and understand correctly. There is an objective way to read, unless we are all in delusion of ourselves. Probably we are not even we don't even have any sound judgment of anything. Do you understand? So there is a sound judgment of things, and I believe that if we all believers can stay together and get the word, it will be built up. Now, we are not just here to talk about context. Read the Bible in context. That's true. You must always read the Bible in context. You must always read the Bible in context. However, the Bible is much more than it's much more than just say read it in context. There's also something called textual criticism in the Bible. It's important to know the use of words and how they were used before, the inflections of those words and their applications in different contexts, to understand how the words were. You know, we have a habit of using our present day interpretation of things to interpret the Bible, or our present day or current idiosyncrasies to our lives and our viewpoints in life and how we reason as human beings to interpret the Bible. And it almost looks as though the Bible is agree with what we think it's saying. And I had to unlearn how to read the Bible personally that way, so that I can not assume what the Bible is saying. Now, many of us as humans, we make assumptions a lot of assumptions. There was a debate I saw with a man that is a popular Judaist, is a debater as well. He does a lot of programs in schools, big bodies around. When I mean bodies, I mean BODIES, right? Like politicians, high people in the society. He does some kind of, he airs some of his debates, and he talks about, he criticizes secular philosophies about gender equality, politics generally. His name is Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro was in the debate. He's a very sound debater, and I really respect him for his not just his ability to debate properly, but his facts, his factual way of debating. He knows how to present facts, and he argues with facts and all that stuff. So at this point, he made a mistake in one of his debates online. There's a broadcast where you have the host asking the person whom he invited on board to argue, ask them on another. So the screen is divided into two parts, but both of them are in different locations. You know how it is, like online kind of debate. So the host asks him some certain questions about, say, are you saying that this is like this? So the way Ben Shapiro replied him was as though Ben Shapiro already knew the man's stand concerning gender equality, sexuality, gender, all that stuff, gender identification. So Ben Shapiro was answering him questions as though he already knew his point because of the nature of the questions that the man was asking him. So the man laughed at him and then he said, hey, you wouldn't have said some things that you just said if you only knew my stand on certain things. And I felt like, that was a mistake. Now, even if the guy already had that stand, it was wrong for Ben Shapiro to have, interpreted it that way. It would have been wrong for Ben Shapiro to have judged him that way. So really, it's not a sound way of viewing the scriptures. We often assume that this is what the Bible is saying. I've been in that net before, and it's good that we deny ourselves of our intelligence. Deny yourself. Please let me know if you can hear me. If you cannot hear me, just please let me know at this point if you cannot hear me, all right? So Ben Shapiro argues and he does not give the right interpretation. So the same way I said, we often make that mistake of when we're reading the Bible, we want to, let me know if you can hear me, all right? We want to interpret it the way we think it's all right. So there are many ways we see the Bible. That this is one way we often do it. We often read the Bible as like we often read it like a kind of magical book that somehow knows how to talk to us every time, every time that we need it to talk to us, like Jumanji. Jumanji will not be the perfect example. I know some people might not know Jumanji, that game, magical game. You throw the dice, you toss the dice, and then it rolls, blah, 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 blah. Then, boom, lands on somewhere, and then they are taken to somewhere else. No, that's not. But, you go to, let's say, some of these clairvoyance kind of books where it says, what is my spirit saying? What is the spirit saying, not the spirit of God, but just what something spiritual, what is my fate, F-A-T-E, for today? And then you open it and then it's like, this is what your day is going to be like, this is going to happen to you. Or they say, what is my future saying to me? Your future is saying you are a loving person today. It doesn't matter what you're going through right now, that future holds something better for you. Or say, what do people want to know about me? People want to let you know that you're a loving person. You are kind, you are, though despite the things you have gone through, you have come out to be the best person that they see you as. Those loving, nice things that, makes us feel nice, which are not the spirit of God, really. We often read the Bible like that. We often think that when you open the Bible, anything you read is what God is saying to you at that moment. I used to read the Bible that way. There was a time I remember reading the Bible and I saw something like, I said, the scripture there said, he said, you have left me, you have done this, you have done that, you have, now you'll be left desolate and all that stuff and something like that. And I read it, I don't remember how it actually read. But you see, that made me feel that's what God was saying to me at that point. But I wish I knew better. I know how that translated to how I related with people and how I related with God, most importantly. But you see, is that the way to read the Bible? When we say like this, people often get defensed up. They often get the defenses up because they feel that we are about to bring heresy. All right? For instance, if we say something like the Bible was not written in English, There's that nerve, that religious, not even religion. This is not even religion. This is some kind of belief system that we have, all right, that tends to see everything other than what you believe, which is not anything which is aside what you have believed to be a lie. So the truth is that if someone comes and says the Bible was written in English, for instance, it's as though you are bringing a lie. You want to deceive them, or you are beginning to say, "Oh, let's check the Greek word." You're going to find some Nigerians. Nigerians aren't doing English by origin. You know, some Nigerians or some whoever, wherever you find yourself. Even if you are Asian and you find yourself in England, you begin to see yourself begin to, you know, flinch. You want to get your defenses up. You don't want to let that person, quote unquote, deceive you. But is that really honesty in its objectivity? Because no matter how conservative you are, no matter how liberal you are, if what you're saying is not what the Bible is saying, you are believing the wrong thing. A preacher said this, and I want to share this with us. He said that when a lie is in institution, that the truth is often seen as rebellion. Did you hear that? He said, when a lie is in institution, that is, when a lie has been practiced so much that it has become commonplace, like this is what we know it to be. If we know a lie to be the truth, and the truth eventually comes in, we're going to discern and judge that truth as a lie. So if I always believe that my name is Jordan Peterson all my life, if I've always believed that I'm an old man with gray hair, that's what I'm not, and I believe, for instance, that I have I don't have the ability to run 100 meters all my life, you know, subconsciously is going to begin to play out in my belief system and in my experiences. Why? Because there's something called the placebo effect. Doctors often use that. They often trick people into believing things that are not necessarily true. So because people have the power of believing, there's the power of the mind, right? Although to some extent it works, but not to every extent. But it just works for some tablets they give to be say, if you just take this, you're going to feel better. They do that when they know people are just having a hard time in their mind. They don't really have a medical problem per se. So just give them something to take, and then just give them that illusion that medicine is going to solve their problems. Whereas the medicine is not doing anything in their body. It's just a placebo effect to make people. So if all you believe your life is that you are Jordan Peterson, let's say your name is Jordan Peterson, you believe that all your life, and then someone comes to tell you, no, listen, actually that's not your name. Your name is Peter Johnson. Your name is Peter Johnson. Hey, listen, you're Peter Johnson. All right? Or you believe that you are not smart. You've always heard that right from childhood. That's why we should be careful with the words we use to our young ones. You're daft, you're not intelligent, you're this, you're that, all that, you're not beautiful. No, be careful. Those words actually have a way of forming their belief system about who they are, believe, or how they see themselves in future. So we must speak good words. Now, that's not by the way, I'm still on course. If all you believed is that you are not mentally rich or mentally capable, right, that would affect you. And if someone begins to tell you otherwise, you begin to think he's just trying to flatter you, trying to make you feel good. Someone say, you look beautiful, and you begin to doubt me. Because all your life, someone has been telling you a lie. All right? All your life, someone has been telling you a lie. And then you then take that lie to be the truth. Why do we tend to go with lies rather than the truth? Now, I'll tell you why. Because there's a way, the nature of a lie, it tends to relate with our natural, you know, human body. The natural man is when I say the natural man, I mean, where as a natural, as a human being, you are sensual in nature, right? So anything that somehow appeals to your senses, sensation, is more easy is it's easy is what's the word? Easily more easily gets to your belief system than something that does not. So that's why you find people who argue about things that don't make sense, and they are so passionate about it. You find out that they're arguing, oh, I believe that this is that. How can you say that? How can you say that? Whereas if you look at it technically and logically and soundly, if you take emotions aside, they might not be correct. Have you seen that before? Have you seen that before? It's so that's why we often say when you're interpreting the Bible, it should not be about sensation. And that's where people often misinterpret the Holy Spirit. So I was speaking with someone the other day, and I was getting into asking questions. Obviously, I was asking him questions concerning the scriptures, and I try not to I tried not to come off as someone who was read or who knew anything or even knows anything about the Bible. I was asking him as a just someone, and the question I was asking him, I discovered that it began to become like a threat, not in a negative way, but he could not necessarily answer the questions correctly, right? He could not answer them sufficiently. He was just not very, you know. At some point, I discovered that I didn't want to embarrass him because he was with someone. I think that person was someone he was probably above, more mature than. I don't know. I don't know. I just thought so. So I tried not to ask him too hard questions. So, but the question I was asking him, I discovered at the point he then said, you know, let's calm down. Let's calm down. That's what he was saying. Say, he said, you know, everything is not, is not. Head knowledge. Say some things are revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. When a man plays the Holy Spirit card, it means the person has not understood the scriptures. You hear what I said? Hallelujah. When you hear someone, and this is not, I won't say it's a blanket statement. However, most times where someone brings up that spiritism, oh, let the spirit give it its right. Only the spirit of God can give you the right interpretation. In fact, can I tell you the truth? The scripture doesn't actually teach us that the Holy Spirit reveals the script or reveals or teaches the scriptures to us. And I'll tell you, I explained that before, right? But I'll go further a little bit in that. But before I go there, are you listening? Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, there are many practices and beliefs in Christianity that are not necessarily, that are not Christian. There are many beliefs today in Christianity that are not Christian. Many beliefs, many practices that are not Christian, but these practices are done by Christian. Now, however we feel or however popularly it has been practiced, does not justify it. We have many religions that have masses that follow them, but they're an error. You don't need to use justify that by majority. The truth is not in majority. In fact, in Bible times, it was not. It's just that now men are coming to the truth. In fact, as men are coming to know, even those numbers, still a good number of them still don't yet know the truth. The truth is should not be measured by the number of people that follow it. The truth is independent on any factor. If it's the truth, it's the truth. It has nothing to do with experiences. It has nothing to do with experiences. Hallelujah. Are you there? No matter, oh, you just say, but I had that experience where God appeared to me and told me this is the meaning of the scripture. Can I tell you the truth? Paul said, even if an angel from heaven, that's Galatians 1, verse 6 to 8, even if an angel from heaven preaches to you another gospel than that which you have received from himself, he didn't even say from the Holy Spirit, he said from him, you find out that in the scriptures. Well, the Holy Spirit actually teaches us through men. He doesn't teach us through visions. No. Can I tell you the truth? Visions are not for doctrine. If you want to understand it better, you have a lot of work to do. There's a series we've done. It's called The Gifts of the Spirit. We examine everything about Spiritism. We just rounded up the series, just a part of the series, because we are still going to go into it more, a lot more. There's a lot of things to discuss and talk about. But if you go to that series, you talk about all this stuff about visions, and somebody say, oh, that someone appeared to them and then showed them gave them a special message to the world. All that stuff ended in the apostles. You know why I said the apostles? Because you see, before Christ, Hebrews 1 says God was speaking through prophets in portions. That's what diverse manners. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. Let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. I would like us to please look at it together. I promise you that you understand what I'm saying today. Are you there? Praise the Lord. Look at it. Hebrews chapter 1. It says, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners, all right? Now, the word sundry times means in portions and diverse manners. That is in different ways. He says, he spoke unto the fathers by the prophets. Excuse me. But he says, but in these last days, he has now spoken to us in his son. Now, the way the Greek renders it is quite different. I'll read for you how the Greek actually renders this verse. This is how it says, the prophets in diverse manners and in sundry times spoke God's word to our fathers. But in these last days, God has spoken to us in his son. All right? That's exactly the message the original lettering gives, because some of these translators infused, so they added some words, you know why? By adding words like his, you know, adding words like by, you know, the word by there is actually meant to be in, not because Jesus is not a prophet. You can't speak by prophet and speak by Jesus. So just, you will then put Jesus in the class of other prophets who are speaking God's word, all right? But actually Jesus is the word of God. Hallelujah. So he is the message. John chapter 1 verse 1 lets us know that. John chapter 1 reads, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, right? He says the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life became the light of men. And that light shines in darkness. That is, the light liberates us from darkness about who God really is. And then now says in verse 11, and he, that word, came to his own. Right? He came, that's Jesus. He came, the word of God, came to his own. And his own did not receive him. Right? Because they did not believe in him. Because they thought he was going to be something else. Like a politician. Right, so they did not receive him, but it now says, but as many as received him, to them he gave power, all that stuff, we call the sons of God who were not born of all that. He goes on and reads on. So the point is that Jesus is God's word. That's the word logos, is the structure, the mindset, all right, the pattern of thinking that God has always had from the beginning. So it says at sundry times. So we can't it would be wrong for us to say God spoke by Jesus as he also spoke by the prophets. We can't place both of them in the same class. Is that clear now? So it's better to put it as in. That's the word that means in. All right? In Greek lettering, it's good to, you can be a translator of the Greek, because it's humans that translated it. It's not the Holy Spirit that translated it to English. Always know that. All right? Praise God. Some of these people were not even believers. You know? Some of them were not really staunch believers. They were not all that, they were not knowledgeable enough. Let's use that word that way. All right, knowledgeable in the sense of the Christian faith. All right, that's what I mean. Some of them are not necessarily the typical early Christian. So these are translators translating biblical texts. You should understand this. So when you read the original word, it helps you to get to decide contextually what is the appropriate word. So it cannot be by, because Jesus is not a prophet. So look at it again, verse 1. It says, God who has sundry times, or sundry times and diverse manners, his prophets spoke God's word Because in Greek lettering, I'll tell you why the word God is not meant to be there. In Greek lettering, they don't start their words, their sentences with the word God. It's often into it. All right? Spoke God's word, and his last day spoken to us in Jesus. So Jesus Christ is the message of God. He is the message, is what God has always wanted to say. So there's no other message that God can give to you again. Yeah, God has given us the sound message by giving us Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. That's the message of every Christian today. Nothing else. Absolutely nothing else. We're not going to that because of our time. We're just trying to look at our time. But are you getting it so far? All right? Now, he said that God spoke to us how? In Jesus. Now, no other person was given a message that was different. You know how we say God gave me a message to deliver people from poverty? That is not biblical. Say God gave a message to give people the message to go and cast to do deliverance ministry, oil ministry, mantle ministry, bottle of oil ministry, fire ministry, holiness ministry, faith ministry. So we often categorize our ministries by our own lusts. What I mean lust, is not always about sin. I mean sex or immorality. You know how we always say lust. That's how I grew up. They made us think that once you see the word lust in the Bible, he's talking about fornication. Hallelujah. but give glory to God if you are not like me. All right? Lust just simply means your own tendencies to whatever thing you are more inclined to. So someone say, I tend to be more inclined to holiness teaching. That's your lust. Does not mean that you are interpreting the Bible correctly, because by the time you start doing it by that way, you start misinterpreting the Bible. But once it is Christ, the message of Christ, that is, once Jesus and him crucified is your message, and the glories that follow is your message, you will not be in confusion. You will not misinterpret the Bible. It will be difficult for you to do that unless it's purposefully. All right? So Christ is what? Our message. Now, I said that Christ is our message, right? Let me know if you cannot hear me. All right, I believe it's better now. All right, give me a second. Just have to mute someone's mic. All right, is that done? It's not done. Is it? All right, it's done now. All right, so you know, you get the point. Huh? I just muted your mic. Hello, please, could you help? Do not unmute your mic, please. Please do not unmute your mic. All right, thank you. So, you get the point. I said many beliefs and practices. There are many practices that are not Christian. All right? For instance, okay, I was saying that the Holy Spirit does not teach us, right? So, yeah, sorry, I don't get you guys confused. So, the Holy Spirit does not teach us. We have established that in our, I think that was in our first, second teaching, something like that. We established that the Holy Spirit is not our teacher. Now, this is another place. I just want to go a little bit further into that. This is another place that they often get that impression that the Holy Spirit is the one that teaches us. So they often bring that spirit card. Oh, the Holy Spirit is the one that will explain the word to us. It's not man. Can I tell you the truth? It is always from time immemorial, it has always been men that explain the scriptures to us. It's always been men that explain who God was to us, or who God is, excuse me. Sorry, but that's wrong. Who God is. Think of any man. Let's look at it together. Has there been any point in time where the Holy Spirit taught anybody? Now, let's start from the Bible. You say, the Holy Spirit taught Moses. How did you know the Holy Spirit taught Moses? How did you know the Holy Spirit taught Moses? I'll ask that question again. How did we know the Holy Spirit taught Moses? You say, oh, the Holy Spirit taught Paul. How did you know the Holy Spirit taught Paul? Or you say, didn't the Holy Spirit teach Elijah? How did we know that the Holy Spirit taught Elijah? Were you with Elijah physically? No. Right? So how did we know? Well, hold on. You then reply, it is written in the scriptures. Who wrote the scriptures? Men. So who teaches you anything you know about God? Men. So who then is the instrument that the Holy Spirit uses to teach? Men. Can men be, are men the Holy Spirit? No. Who are men? Men are created beings. Men are natural. Men can be natural. You know, even now in the New Testament, where the Holy Spirit now indwells in us, men also still can walk in the flesh. That is why the Spirit, that's why the scripture speaks. It's in Romans. It says, do not walk, it's a walk in the Spirit so that you do not fulfill the desires of the flesh. That means we can walk in the flesh. So in every man, there's a man element. There's a tendency to make error. So it's a man that taught you what you know about the Holy Spirit. But we can only correctly, soundly judge who he is or what the truth is in Christ. Right? Now, someone say, let the Holy Spirit teach me. We're going to ask, who is the Holy Spirit? You will find out that you will have to look to the scriptures, not to your experiences. Because the first person that taught you that there's a Holy Ghost is a man. The Holy Ghost didn't appear to you and say, my name. Or maybe the Holy Spirit was speaking in tongues. Hey, that's Katina. Because the Bible says when we speak, it says, he that prays in the Spirit speaks mysteries. Okay? So maybe the Holy Spirit, but you see, the Holy Spirit never appeared to you. And says, I am the Holy Spirit. I'm here to teach you the scriptures. We established that Paul did not learn from the Holy Ghost. That Paul learned from reading the scriptures. That's the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament. That's Genesis to Malachi. In 1 Corinthians 15, just for those of us who are here for the first time, he established that. He says, for I delivered first unto you. Listen to what Paul said. Because a lot of people think Paul just downloaded revelation from heaven. No. Paul understood what was written. That was revelation to him. And God did that because he wanted to use Paul to establish foundational faith for Christianity. Alright? That is the message of Christ for everybody. Alright, now, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, let's look at it, please. I'm just saying this. Just so can help someone that may be hearing this. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. I know it's not in this series I established that Paul did not learn from the Holy Ghost. Like, what I mean is that Jesus did not just download revelation into Paul's head. You understand? Look at verse 15. Chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 1. Now, Paul speaking says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand. What is the topic here? What is Paul's topic here? He's talking about what he preached. He's talking about the message he preached. That's the gospel message, right? And we know Paul is an evangelist of the gospel. Okay? Acts 16:25 tells us all of that. Now look at verse 2. He says, which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you. So he's talking about what he preached. Right? Look at verse 3. He then says, for I delivered first unto you, first of all which I also received. How did Paul receive it? Look at it. He says, how Christ died for our sins according to what? The scriptures. Now, let's as Bible students, you know, I just established something that when you're reading the scriptures, you're not reading it like a magical book that is telling you what God is saying now. No. You are reading it to understand what that person was saying then. So we often say that when you are reading the scriptures, you should understand what the person meant then. Because what he meant then is what he wants you to understand now. So the Bible cannot mean now what it never meant then. It meant then what he meant then. And it will always mean now what he meant then. I don't know if I'm confusing you. I hope I'm not confusing you. If you want to understand the scriptures, understand the mind of the writer. Understand his audience then. So what would be the scriptures to Paul when he was writing that book years ago? What scriptures? Was Paul referring to the book of 1 Corinthians? No. Paul could have not been referring to 1 Corinthians as the scriptures, because he was writing 1 Corinthians. In fact, some other epistles were not yet written. Or where Jesus said, search the scriptures in John chapter 5, verse 39. There was no book of John. We saw that last week. There was no book of John then when he was saying that. It was later, many years ago. Many years later. I say many years ago. Well, it's still many years ago now. But many years later, it was when John wrote that book of John and talked about what Jesus said then. All right? So what is Paul referring to as scriptures? Or the scriptures? Genesis to Malachi. Okay? So he says, according to the scripture. So Paul was referring to what he read from the scriptures that he understood. So his reception was from the Bible, or Genesis to Malachi. Look at verse 4. It says, and how he was buried, and how he rose again, and the third day again, according to what? The scriptures. Is it according to what Jesus showed me? No. According to the scriptures. So Paul is here giving us a revelation that it is from his reading of the scriptures, or the revelation he has found from reading the scriptures, studying the scriptures, all right, that gave him the understanding of how Christ died, was buried, and rose again the third day. Do you understand it now? So we said the Holy Spirit does not teach. So I say this is how people often, this is where people get it from. Look at 1 Corinthians 2. They say the Holy Spirit is our teacher. No, the Spirit of God does not say that. So we just established something. Just let me just take us back again. Is there any point in time, or was there any point in time, that the Holy Spirit taught anybody? No, we've established that it is, we only see what men wrote about what happened. And you know, most of them, they often wrote according to their understanding then. So would only know what is correct by how Jesus explained what happened, really. For instance, Moses wrote in the book of Exodus, he said, and God appeared to him in a burning bush, right? Everybody has assumed today that God was in that burning bush talking to Moses. Everybody has assumed that today. It's a belief system in Christianity, because so it is written, right? Now, we now assume that that's what was happening. That's how Moses wrote it to you. Okay? However, in the New Testament, there's a revelation of what really happened. Look at Acts 7, verse 35. Let's see some revelation of what really happened. Acts chapter 7. Look at verse 35. See, verse 35. Are you there? Acts 7, 35. He says, this Moses whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler? Now, this is just an account for what happened then, right? It says, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him, where? In the bush. So who appeared to Moses in the bush? An angel. All right? Can you see that? You see that? So, but if you read the Old Testament, it will appear as though, that's why I told you about some of the man elements. Those folks in the Old Testament did not have the revelation of the Father. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Look at it quickly. 1 Peter, these men were searching for who God really was. They were natural men. In fact, Romans called them dead men, men who were dead. That's natural men, natural. Natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. They see things that happen that are supernatural, and they say, oh, God is destroying everybody. Ooh, Moses, help us. They did not know better. Hebrews then revealed that we have not come to that kind of God. That God in the shouting and the destruction was not our God. We'll get into all of that. Maybe not today. Definitely not today. I planned to do it today, but I do not want to be in haste in this series, because we want to make it clear so we can give believers liberation from the poverty of understanding scriptures correctly. All right, where was I going to? Where did I say we should open to just now? Did I miss something? Okay, Hebrews 2, verse 2. Now, on the mount, this is what happened under the Ten Commandments. Look at just a brief one. It says, verse 1, let's read verse 1. This refers to who Moses was speaking to on Mount Sinai in the Old Testament. Look at it. It says, therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which you have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. See, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard him? All right? God also bearing them witness with signs and wonders, diverse miracles, gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. For unto the angels had he not put in subjection to the world to come. Now look at that these verses we just read now just simply tells us something simple. It tells us that those words in the Old Testament, those commandments, were actually given in the hand of angels. Look at, let me just show you, since you're someone say, that's not true. Look at Galatians 3, verse 19. Galatians 3, verse 19. He says, are you there? This is going to reveal some things because we have to get it right. Verse 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? That means what's the purpose of the law? Okay? It says it was added because of the transgressions till the seed, that's Jesus, should come, to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. So Moses and angels brought the Ten Commandments and the other ordinances up to 613. That's the New Testament. But if you read the Old Testament, you would say it is, you see the word Yahweh or Jehovah Elohim. It just refers to beings that existed. All right, but it doesn't, it's where people often say God never spoke. That's not true. Please don't say that. All right, but you see Moses and angels. Are you there? Moses and angels, because angels learn from. Okay, let's not confuse anyone. Now, all right. Now, are you there? Now, it's just clear what really happened. His favorite child. I don't know who that person is. Okay. Now, I'm gonna show something now. 1 Peter 1:10, just to tell us something about how those folks wrote the Old Testament. It says in verse 10, it says, of which salvation, are you there? 1 Peter 1:10, of which salvation the prophets had inquired. Now this prophets refers to the Old Testament folks. All right, the prophets. It says they were inquiring, they were searching, they didn't know the truth, they didn't know who God really was, but they related with him in types and shadows, in diverse ways, in portions. They didn't have the truth in their hands, they didn't grasp it. They were natural men, they could not grasp the things of the Spirit. Okay, but they were prophets, they spoke God's word regardless. So we can find God's word in their statements and find men's word in their statements. All right? Now, it says they were inquirers, right? It says they searched diligently. I'm reading verse 10 of 1 Peter chapter 1. They searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come to you. Look at verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us did they minister the things which are now reported unto you, by them which preach the gospel to you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels love to look into and love to observe. What is this saying? That the prophets did not understand. It was not revealed to them. But you see, it now tells us, but now the gospel has been revealed through those people who have the Holy Ghost, as the apostles. that preached the Holy Ghost, that preached the word to you. So we can say how God revealed to us those things that were hidden before was through men that have the Holy Ghost. That's the apostles. Through men. So how does the Holy Ghost preach and teach? Through men. Finally, look at 1 Corinthians 2, where people often get that the Holy Ghost is our teacher. 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. Does the Holy Ghost teach us? No. We dealt with scriptures like, we don't need any man to teach you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 21. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you do not need that any man teaches you. We taught that. We explained that scripture. That was, I think, two teachings ago. Right? So you can lay your hands on that and get clear. Now, 1 Corinthians, we are closing with this. Verse chapter 2. Look at where they get this notion from. It says, now we have received, verse 12, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, so that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. It says in verse 13, look at verse 13. That's the focal verse. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You see, this is where people often get to say, can't you see he said it? Now, before I explain this verse, I believe by now it should be clear that it's evident that when it is said the Holy Spirit is teaching, it's teaching through men, right? It's teaching through men. We've seen it from the Old Testament, where I explained that it's men who write, and today it is men who preach the gospel to us. So how would the Holy Ghost teach you? Through men, right? Okay, good. Paul also learned through men. He was under the feet of Gamaliel. He told us that. Okay, now. And Paul also learned with apostles, fellow apostles. We'll go into all of those stuff later. Okay, now. So this is where they get that impression. Firstly, how to interpret this text is through the context. Now, just because of time, you should know, if I've not said this before, one thing that will help you in reading the Bible correctly and understanding it wholesomely, not just verse by verse. That's why I tell people, please stop this habit or this thing we do of encouraging daily Bible verse. You just wake up in the morning, something will pop up on your phone. Pew! It shall be well with you today. You say, yay! God has spoken to me today. I'm so sorry for you. You know, there's a scripture. Scripture say, let the weak say I'm strong. And it just pops as a notification, as a daily Bible verse from your app. Pew! Let the weak say I'm strong. Oh God! Oh God has spoken to me. I'm strong today. You know, if you go and read that scripture, you realize that scripture was not a blessing. It was actually God mocking certain people, the heathen, unbelieving people who were against his people. He mocked them. He said, let these so-called weak people dare to say they are strong. Let them come. He says, beat your plowshares. Come up. Let the weak say I'm strong. It was a